You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
ECU, Pirate Nation, purple and gold family, stand to your feet, put your crossbones up, and lean side to side, yeah, and lean side to side, yeah, and lean side to side, come on, yeah, welcome to the island, man, it's crazy in here. A whole sea of purple and gold waving in here. Keep a plank or the Shark Tank, traders beware, because we got a whole bunch of body sailors in here.
You're watching the Pirate Football Playback on the Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on our YouTube channel and Facebook Live as we talk East Carolina football. Now, here are the guys.
Welcome into the Pirate Football Playback, brought to you by L&K Custom Homes. Want to give a shout out to Kevin Walker for once again being our title sponsor of the Pirate Football Playback second season. And before I introduce the guys, I just want to say that today's September 11th, 21 years ago, we lost 3,000 Americans. We will never forget you. And we love all the those folks, those great firefighters and police officers in New York, the folks in Pennsylvania. And, of course, at the Pentagon, 3,000 people lost their lives September 11th, 2001. I think sometimes we forget that in our society. We kind of moved on. It's forgotten. One of these days, I'll go visit Matt Semenza, who's joining us now, and I've got to go to Madison Square Garden and the One Tower now, because I was up there two different tours of duty to honor my great country with the North Carolina Baptist men, cleaning apartments near Ground Zero. So this day is very special to me, and I wanted to say hello to everyone, any of the maybe survivors, the people that the families that lost loved ones that day. We're thanking you about you on that special day. Matt Semenza, what's up, dude? Glad to have you up in the great state of Connecticut.
What's up, guys? And before we get into football, Dave, I'm really glad you mentioned 9/11. You know, I was thinking about it today. It really, it puts into perspective everything when you look at 9/11. And, you know, you realize that football is really not that important when you compare it to a tragedy like that. So, you know, every year I try to reflect on it, and just glad you mentioned it. And I'm always remembering the, you know, the brave men and women that we lost that day, and still lost many years later from the damage that they took in that day. So, yeah, you know.
No doubt. In fact, thanks to John Stewart and a lot of the people that had the courage to stand up for those great people. Because the, not getting political, but I remember the government at the time, the Bush administration, said, there's no harmful chemicals coming up there. And I'm going, my nose is burning. I can smell chemicals when I was in New York during the time, the two different times I was there. There was no doubt that there was, not to get too into the topic, but we've got a football game to discuss. But I remember the second tower when it exploded, the basement, there was a whole bunch of paint and paint thinner, and that stuff exploded, and you could smell it. There's no reason to, my point is, there's no reason to lie when, if it's sunshine outside, you don't say it's raining. Just like this show, we don't sugarcoat things. Sometimes that can be harsh. Sometimes, as Matt would say, we could be brutal, but we definitely try to be objective, hence the name of the show. And appreciate you, Matt. Bubba Rosenbaum, thank you so much for all that you do behind the scenes. And it was great to get a victory, and I heard the song right before Matt came on, Oh What a Night, and I was thinking about last night, Oh What a Night, because it's great when the Pirates win.
Yeah, speaking of rain, you know, it was raining cats and dogs for much of the day on Saturday, and there right about, you know, 5:40, 5:45, the rain subsided, and really outside of about a maybe 10-minute stretch there in the second half, it was actually a great night for football, and it's a shame. I mean, I think, and the attendance was announced just shy of 37,000 as far as paid attendance, and I don't think that was too far off. The ones that were there were very vocal and into the game, as you would expect, but it would have been interesting to see, had the forecast and the weather not been what it had been throughout much of the day, what the walk-up may have been if we had pushed 40. But you know, solid win nonetheless, and, you know, it was great to see us really, you know, exert ourselves, or assert ourselves, rather, and assume control of that game there late in the third and throughout the fourth quarter and really take care of business and build a 25-point lead before cruising to the 39-21 victory.
Hey, Matt, I know you were talking about this was a big game for us because the state game, we had it in our hands. And I started thinking about that last night during the game. I don't know if you guys did. Maybe the early in the third when it was real, real tight. And I said, man, we had that first game and it locked. We had the second game. We have this. We had control of the game. We kind of lost it. But the great thing about Mike Houston and this team is they believe, guys, they can win. They don't give up. That's one of the things about Scotty Mo. It's not that I'm a sore loser. I just don't like guys giving up where we automatically know the outcome after the first quarter or the first half. You already know your team is going to lose. I really like the fact that ODU, they do have a lot of talent, but we have more talent. And, guys, one of the things I was really excited about was, I don't know about you guys, we knew the running game was going to be good. We knew the tight end room was going to be good. We knew that pretty much the defense was going to be great. The question mark we all had, even the O-line we knew was going to be good. But the wide receiver room, we thought, oh, man, we are thin. And what did the coaching staff do? They went out to the transfer portal. We get Isaiah Winstead. My gosh, guys, I can throw the ball up in the air. He can catch it. I mean, he's amazing. You have Jalen Johnson was huge last night. I'm excited about the fact that Josiah Hatfield's been hurt. We get him back for the Campbell game, which we'll discuss later on. But the wide receiver room, guys, I'm really tickled about where we are there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you saw Mike Houston use the transfer portal to our advantage. And you see it from teams all around the country. Yesterday was the perfect example of the transfer portal. And I'm not going to go off script here from East Carolina, but we were really a microcosm of the transfer portal working for like what you would call the mid-major program, you know, or what some people call the the non-P5 schools, but really making it work for us. And he did a great job. I mean, obviously the receivers, Winstead, Jalen Johnson, but then how about the offensive lineman we brought in that made a difference yesterday? Parker Moore, Justin Redd, who is he's a grad transfer. But, you know, Mike Houston did a really nice job bringing those players in, and it paid dividends yesterday because those receivers made some huge grabs, and they showed their athletic ability. They showed their hands, but they also have really good size, Dave and Bubba, really good size, and they can create mismatches.
Hey, Bubba, did you notice that – I was going to throw this to you. Did you notice, Bubba, where the – to me, what I loved about yesterday is even when Tyler Snead was here and Pearl, you always had where people would double-team Johnson, you know, CJ Johnson. They're pushing him. They're doing pass interference on purpose. Because they know he could probably beat them, and also to get in his head, you know. Well, what was great about last night is now all of a sudden they're doing pass interference, and it's Johnson, it's Winstead. It was like not that we only had one wide receiver, but it just felt like that they were doing that only to CJ Johnson. And now, like, pick your poison. You've got all those guys, plus you have two great tight ends that can catch. You know, like, it's like, okay, before we can focus on this one guy, and now we're looking around the yard on everybody, wide receiver-wise.
Yeah, CJ had a big game against NC State, 6 catches for 90 yards, and then last night he only had 1 catch, but I'm sure, you know, I'm going to go back and watch the film. You know, I'm sure some of that was Old Dominion taking him away, and then Jalen Johnson stepped up, 9 catches for 93 yards, and Isaiah Winstead, they had another big game, you know, or a solid game. I think it was 5 or 6 catches. And both of them now, they've yet to reach the end zone, but, you know, they've given us what we've wanted through 2 games. They both have 11 receptions. And, you know, like Matt mentioned with the transfer portal, bringing them in from, you know, from Georgia and Toledo, respectively. They've certainly lived up to expectations thus far, and I think they'll continue to do so and just get better. And you saw last night when Jalen caught a ball going toward the Murphy Center, what he can do with the ball in his hands after the catch.
Yeah, and you know what really jumps out to me, Bubba, is that the size of these guys. Like Tyler Snead was an incredible college player, and I think he's got a chance to be a great NFL player too. Smaller guy, obviously, different type of player, smaller, quicker, shifty. We have some big, rangy receivers with Winstead, Jalen Johnson, CJ is a big guy. And then look at our tight ends. I mean, we have legitimate right now five guys, including Ryan Jones and Calhoun and the three receivers we just mentioned, that you can get the ball to, and they can create mismatches, and they can make plays.
Yeah, you saw Ryan Jones had four or five receptions last night, and Shane Calhoun had some as well. And through two games, they've combined for 11 catches for about 130 yards. So like you're saying, several bona fide options in the passing game. It'll be nice this week, as we were talking before we went live. Josiah Hatfield will be back, so that's great. Hopefully, we'll see him used in a variety of ways, whether it's, you know, some of those post routes and deep routes that we saw in the past, where, you know, we've hit him for big plays, or maybe in the screen game with his speed.
No doubt. And that, and I'm glad you said that, Bubba, because that made me think about one of my points. I was trying to impress Matt Simmons today. I did film study and this afternoon, and that's because the Carolina Panthers are so bad, but that's a whole nother show. Please, Matt Rhule, go back to college. But anyway, I was trying to watch that game.
Nebraska has an opening.
Yeah, exactly. I that's who I want for Nebraska. He would be a great fit in Nebraska. And Carolina Panthers, please don't do a college football coach experiment. Get a guy that knows the game of pro football. No offense to Matt Rhule, but there, you know, there's so many coaches we can name. Nick Saban, they're the old football coach with a Spurrier, that it just doesn't work out. Now, Pete Carroll is an example that where it has, but most of the guys that try to jump up to pros, it just doesn't work. So anyway, I was going to mention the
– I also remember, not to get off on a tangent, but since you brought up Pete Carroll, what he had a first stint or two in the NFL that wasn't so successful, if I recall right. correctly. And then he went to college and did what he did at USC. And let's just say he may have had some advantages there. That was well documented during his time leading the Trojans, but did a solid job nonetheless. And then obviously did everything he's done with the Seattle Seahawks.
Sorry about the sidebar there, but I was going to make the short passing game. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I know it's Sunday, but man, oh man, I love the short passing game. I know in our group text, where some of the Pirate fans we have, they were talking about the slant, Pat. You know, please do anything you can. I love how, like, with getting Rajay Harris and Keaton Mitchell catch balls. And there was the one time when I love how they had the maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but where they had Rajay Harris and he was hiding behind the line of scrimmage, basically. And when Ehlers, they thought that he was going to go out to the right side. And he down the boneyard end, and he actually did that shovel pass to Rajay Harris. I mean, that was amazing.
That was an amazing. That was a great call. It was a great call in that spot. A really impressive call. And listen, we all can be very critical of offensive coordinators, and there are some times where, like, Donnie will make a call, and I'm sitting at home on my couch like an expert, and I'm like, oh, come on, man. Why did you make that call, Donnie? That was a great call. And you know what's interesting, guys? The Giants won their game. New York Football Giants won their game today on a two-point conversion with the same play to Saquon Barkley. So there you go. Excellent call.
Yeah, that shovel pass, that was obviously down at the boneyard end of the stadium. And – that were right in front of where my seats are, about the 20-yard line. And when we split Shane Calhoun out to the right, he motioned in and shifted into more of a wing position. And like Dave was saying, you know, Holton showed that action to the right and then flipped it to Rajay on the shovel pass. And I believe it was that third down?
Yes.
So kind of – using that to transition back to the beginning of the game, we came out offensively, put two solid drives together. It's a shame that we weren't able to punch it in on that first drive. You know, we went 17 plays, ran 17 plays to go 70 yards, and then had to settle for the chip shot field goal of 22 yards by Owen Daffer. It's nice to see him put that through after Pirate Nation came to its feet and gave him a round of applause there, which was also nice to see. And Coach Houston referenced that in his postgame remarks. And then we did give up a quick touchdown to ODU, thanks to some breakdown in coverage, which we'll talk more about later on. But then, you know, we responded. That was shortly after that. So our second drive, we went just over 60 yards in 9 plays and took the 9-0 lead. And then, unfortunately, we had the first of two PATs blocked. And that PAT field goal team continues to be a nightmare for Mike Houston and staff, having missed now 3 extra points in 2 games. And you don't expect to see that in a season, much less in 2 ball games. So that has to get fixed, because there's going to be close games and it's going to end up costing us a game if we're not careful and don't get it ironed out.
And guys, that's what I'm glad you mentioned that, Bubba. To me, the secondary is stuff that we can clean up. I feel more confident about the secondary, the some of the coverages that were missed or whatever happened, than I do the extra point, with the special teams. In fact, Sonny of Sonny and Semenza, Jay Sunhalter, was doing the game last night, and be sure to listen to Matt and Jay every Wednesday night. But anyway, for me personally, Jay was talking about the right, Matt and Bubba, I hadn't had a chance to tell you guys this. During the game last night, he talked about, I heard it again this afternoon, rewatching it, on the second PAT, I know for sure, he said the right side of the line, I don't know if it's blocking or what the case, but he mentioned the right side, and all 3 of y'all are football players, so I yield that to y'all.
Coach Houston, in his postgame remarks, said, let's make that very clear, that neither one of those missed PATs were on Owen Daffer. You saw the first one. I didn't get as good of a look at the second one. Wanted to go back and watch it. But on the first one, Old Dominion's player, timed it perfectly. And, it's still no excuse. But, he came totally untouched. It almost looked like he was going to take the ball Luke Larson. But it was no surprise that one got blocked. And on the second one, not so sure. But got to get it ironed out.
Yeah, when that second one got blocked, I almost threw my remote control through the TV. I was I was on fire. And because they work on this stuff all week, and to have those kind of busts,
right.
And that's not even a physical bust. That's a mental bust. You have guys coming right down Main Street. This has to stop, because we I think, Bubba, you mentioned it, this will get us beat. This will get us beat very quickly. If we're playing a Houston or a Cincinnati, we got away with it last night. And the good news is that we won by 18 points, and we still made a significant number of mistakes in that game last night. But it does have to get fixed. And it's just it's unacceptable at this level. It just can't happen. It can't happen. And Mike Houston knows that. And, I know they're going to work overtime to get it fixed, and it needs to get fixed immediately.
Are they working on it? Because you say that, but this has never been the problem that, all of a sudden, we're in. Coach Logan talked about this in the summertime. He said we would be East Carolina, your former coach, Matt, and I mentioned this once before to you, would be in every single game this year. They're not going to get blown out, he said. And so if we're in every single game, we've gone from being the laughingstock of FBS, we were 129 or 130, I know there's 131 teams now, to where we are fighting in the top half of now and eventually top 25 teams, but that's a whole nother show. But to have those extra points blocked, unexcusable, we can talk all day long about Daffer. He's going to miss some field goals. That's just going to happen, and that's okay. because it's part of the game. We don't like it, but it's going to happen, and we're not going to beat up the kid, and we're not going to beat up the kid for the state for that the end that last one. But the point after touchdowns, the extra points, there's no excuse for missing those, and you can't blame the kicker. When you see the coverage, when you see our guys on that line, I think that one thing is maybe that those of us as fans watching it, we take it for granted, like it's automatically an extra point. And during your time or right after, Brantley Rivers, he was a guy that I held my breath every time. I know Andrew Bays was talking about him in 98, but I remember that year very well where he was missing so much that, you know, I started to respect, you know, extra points. Like, oh God, I hope to God we're going to make it. And then now, you know, here we are. We've been fighting hard for this program. We've finally got things on the right track, and we're going to win a lot of ball games. And like you said, when you have the likes of Houston, Cincinnati, we have all the conference opponents. Guys, we truly have a chance. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but we truly have a chance to win the conference this year. I really believe that. It's the first time in since maybe 2014, 13, 14 that I thought we had a chance to win the conference. And I'll get into my prediction later on the show, so you'll have to watch to hear what that is. But I truly believe we can beat the conference. Well, we're not going to beat the conference when you have tight games and you have extra points blocked. You can have those run back. I mean, all kinds of stuff, bad stuff that could happen should never happen. Right, Bubba?
Yeah, while we're on the topic of the PAT field goal team, it was good to see Owen make a 32-yarder later on. But at the same time, I went back and watched the footage of that. How that one didn't get blocked is amazing. Like, it was such a low kick.
A long drive.
And I knew that live. It was obvious. It was a low knuckleball. But it was even lower than I thought. And I went back and watched it. And the ball literally disappeared. It was like shoulder level or even below shoulder level. I don't know how it made it past the line of scrimmage. It's unbelievable.
It was like a knuckleball.
It just happened to get through the ODU defenders because it's amazing. But fortunately for us, it did not get blocked because at that point in time, I guess, well, that made that 30, made it 39-13. But, or something of that nature, 39-14. But
I think that it showed you that I was going to tell you guys this, going back to that first field goal for Daffer. Thank you to the fans for doing the right thing to give him an ovation. We would not have had a winning season if he doesn't make that 54-yarder against Navy. He was the difference in having a winning season versus just the first winning season in 6 years. And the fact that Coach Houston had confidence in him, you know, to go ahead and make the kick versus, you know, going for it every time on fourth down or something like that. And I don't think, and I know for a fact it hasn't come to that point, but it was just good to see that he had confidence in him, go ahead and get that field goal. I hated that the drive stalled, but it was kind of meant to be that he was out there. The fans give him a cheer, you know, like that cheer, which I was so happy. And then he makes it, and, you know, he could breathe again, where it's like, all right, you know, he made two field goals to do that. But hopefully we can get the that extra point situation handled because, man, we need we're going to be fighting like crazy. You guys know, but people don't realize how hard it is to win football games, and you don't need to like be throwing away points.
You know, kind of shifting gears. I talked about the two excellent drives we had to start the game. Then Old Dominion, you know, they sliced into our lead, and right there in the last three or so minutes of the first half, we put a drive together that was really big. I think we scored with just under 3 minutes left. 13-play, 90-yard drive, took right at 6 minutes, and that made it 16-7 at halftime, which was absolutely huge because Old Dominion got the football coming out after halftime. And as you know, they made it a 16-14 game, and it remained a 16-14 game until late in the third quarter when we began to, begin what would be a 23-0 run that would put it away.
Yeah, and just to comment on that drive. So, you know, it's You know, we did so many good things in the game. It was a really interesting game to watch because we did a lot of good things, but we also had a lot of breakdowns and busts on the back end and the secondary. And to your point, Bubba, we come out of halftime and, you know, we have that, 9-point lead, right? So you're thinking to yourself, all right, hey, we're kicking off to them. Let's get a stop. Let's try to flip the field, get the ball back, and put this team away, right? So that's really what you're looking for. And you know for a fact, I guarantee, guys, 1,000,000%, Blake Harrell was talking to the defense about that at halftime. Let's go out. Let's get a stop and get the ball back and give it back to our offense. And the way we came out after halftime was, you know, we had multiple busts on the back end. I don't know what was going on there. And Mike Houston commented about that. Was like his opening comment at his post-game press conference was about the bus on the back end. So that was like one of those maddening things. It was totally mental bust. There was nothing physical that happened. It was mental breakdown. So we got to get these things fixed. But hey, here's the good news, I'll say, because I'm talking about like some of these negative, you know, missed extra points, bust. We still won the damn game by 18 points.
And it should have been – and let me say this too, by the way, so I can get at a jab on Luke Fickell. Did you see Luke Fickell, how Mike Houston showed class? We could have scored again very late, like the last 25, 30 seconds, but they took a knee to win the game because we were up 18. And, oh, yes, we've got to get the players that work so hard in practice. We got to score another 3 or 4 touchdowns. He showed class, and that's why I love Mike Houston. And, those of us are fans. We love to see scoring. We love guys like Marlon Gunn, who is the future of the program, that had that amazing run late in the game to set up what it could have been a touchdown. But Luke Fickell could learn a lot from Mike Houston on being a class act and taking a knee there. No fake punts.
Yeah, before we dive into some other aspects of the game, let's go to some of our comments from our viewers, both on Facebook and YouTube. Elliot chiming in saying, what is wrong with our special teams? We've discussed the PAT field goal team. I think it's a combination of things. I mentioned the low kick that we got away with on the made 32-yarder last night. Maybe it was the first field goal. It was either the first field goal or one of the PATs that we made. Luke Larson, to his credit, did a good job of getting a high snap down. I think it's a little bit of everything. Obviously, the protection was poor. Coach Houston referenced that on at least 2 occasions last night on the 2 blocked PATs. So with the PAT field goal team, it's a lot of different things. With our punt team, Luke just not getting solid punts off consistently, too many below 40 yards, too many with not enough hang time. Our coverage teams have been pretty solid. And so, I mean, it's really our PAT field goal and then our punt team that have given the special teams, you know, the perception that it has thus far, and that's enough. I'm not saying that, but I just also wanted to emphasize some of the things with the coverage units and then also punt return. Malik Fleming doing an excellent job there, and I love his speed. I really think that before the season's over, I think he's going to make some plays in the punt return game. And also, you know, Owen hasn't been great. I think he's had 12 kickoffs, 4 for touchbacks. Would like to see that percentage a little higher. But as I said, when they haven't been touchbacks, and the coverage team has really done a good job of getting down and covering it.
Yeah, and just the chime
no,
in.
Really I think that that Keaton – I'm –
Dave's frozen up. Yeah. I guess he is on your end as well, Matt.
Yeah, but Dave locked up there. So I'll just kind of chime in while Dave comes back to us here. Dave, you back?
Yeah, I was just saying I can't wait for Keaton to bust one. I'm just waiting for that for the kickoffs. And Malik Fleming, he's done all right. I'm still not 100% confident in him. I think he's good. He definitely has he's the right person for definitely for punt returns. It's not a question of that. I still think that he's not quite I don't know if it's confidence or what it is, but Keaton Mitchell is like, it's almost like he was born and he's ready to, you know, to go ahead and do the kickoffs. But
I would honestly say the opposite. I think, Keaton had a good return last night, a 27 yarder toward ODU's sideline. But week one, in a lot of folks say, you know, they don't necessarily understand, like when they see the return man catcher, they just think he should, you know, just be sprinting. You know, some of that is by design to allow the blocks to set up, but needless to say, wasn't very good against NC State for probably a variety of reasons, but we did have that one good one last night. I think that was the only one we returned. So I think we're seeing the progress there in a small sample size. We'll see how it is. Maybe he'll have an opportunity to take one to the house against Campbell. I would not be surprised to see him and or Malik Fleming do some big things in the return game this week.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I would love to see both of those guys have some big returns. But just to kind of take it back to Elliot's question for a minute, I think, you know, special teams, like a lot of times you hear coaches say, we're going to get our most talented players on the field for special teams. We're going to get our best players. That's not always the best thing. Special teams is about finding the right mix of guys who actually want to play special teams, because like there's a lot of star players out there that are like, man, I just came off the field after a 10 play drive, 15 play drive. I don't want to go out on the field goal or on the extra point team, the extra point unit. I don't want to go out on the punt block unit. A lot of players don't want to play special teams, guys. Something we don't really talk about in football. So a lot of it is finding the right mix of guys that are going to perform on those units. And it's not always about having the most talented guys, but it's finding the right mix. I'm guessing you're going to see some changes this week, just trying to find the right mix of guys on each one of those units.
I can't remember if that's the first or the second PAT block, but one of those guys, I'm not going to call out the name, was actually a freshman. And while I want to see – I agree with you, Matt. I understand what you're saying, and I understand totally that, you know, there might be some guys not playing, but you definitely want – I think Houston now is in a position where we are so loaded with talent that you can put your best players on special teams, where before you were holding your breath while they were playing, so you were trying to do that. But for the field goal teams and the extra points, when you have a freshman that's missing a block, and it may have been the second one, the first or second one, it was commented on by Jay last night, by the announcers last night. So for me personally, that's great that you're giving a guy experience, but maybe we do need even experienced guys on the line, you know, like guys that, and Bubba helped me out, maybe there are guys that already have experience on that. But in other words, what I'm trying to say is maybe they're not ready for prime time. They're a good talent, but we need guys that are going to take it seriously. And to say, hey, that we're going to make sure that no more – let's have a goal right now. No more extra points blocked the rest of the season. And I know everybody says, Dave, it's easier said than done. But if you have that kind of mentality that we're not going to allow it to happen, you're going to do everything in the weight room. You're going to do everything on the practice field, all the film study, everything you possibly can do. And just – I think it would – guys, I'll tell you what it comes down to for me – is it's not their talent. The talent is there for every player on the team because we have great coaches that are good talent evaluators. I think it's a lack of focus. I think guys get out there and they just think it's automatically going to happen, and they don't realize that oh, hell, the point after touchdown, the extra points can be blocked. It can happen. And you see two straight games, guys, it can happen. So focus on, like Craig put up in the comments on Facebook, do your job. I'm going to do a Matt Semenza now. Do your job. And everybody has a job, and that's why a team is very important, and it's why it's important to play sports. One person on that team can make the difference of winning or losing. And the coach is coming out of me right now. Matt and Bubba, I'm sorry, but let's make a point. Let's draw a line in the sand. Enough is enough. No more point after touchdowns. Block the rest of the year. You've got to have – some kind of focus, some kind of you guys in the 90s had a swagger about you. You were not going to be beat on any on tiddlywinks if it was back in the day was that Nintendo 64 or video games, whatever the case may be, you guys were competitors and you were not going to be beat.
Yeah. Going back to some of the points I had really made a note of that I wanted to emphasize about last night's performance and really the season to date, the Pirates have been excellent on third down, you know, both offensively and defensively, you know, through two games. Right now we're converting at a 53% clip, 19 out of 36 on offense. And then defensively, we've allowed just 5 third down conversions in 21 attempts by our opponents on 24%. So hopefully we'll see that continue. And, you know, we'll shore up on what we need to do in the secondary, where we did allow, you know, especially in that NC State game, a couple of third and longs to be converted. And then another area is great to see us defending the run the way we did. I know last night you saw Old Dominion only run the, you know, what, 43 plays, guys? We were talking about it. The Pirates doubled them up there, 86 plays to 43 for the Monarchs. And of those 43 plays, I think the majority of those, like 29 or 30, were pass plays. But then when they did put the ball on the ground, we really did a tremendous job. And they only ran for 15 yards net wise. And so that's something we were able to make them one-dimensional. And that will obviously bode well for us if we can continue defending the run the way we have thus far.
That's a winning combination, guys, when you hold a team, obviously, 15 yards rushing, but plus two in the turnover category. There's not many games you're going to lose with those two numbers.
No doubt. And by the way, speaking of freshmen, I think he's a true freshman, guys, from Richmond County. What a great high school program they always have had. But Lampley, when he recovered that fumble and that set us up for another touchdown, that was huge to see. Is he a D lineman? Lampley?
Yes.
I think he is.
J.D. Lampley. You know.
Yeah.
True freshman defensive lineman, big number 99 out of Richmond High School, Richmond County, that is. You know. So great to see him making such an impact early, and that tells you about his talent, because this isn't back in 2019 when we were void of talent. That shows you how good J.D. is, as Coach Houston has referenced, that he was able to come in and earn this early playing time. Despite all the talented defensive linemen we have in what is, you know, a 10 or 11 man rotation through the first two games. You saw Chandre Mims have a sack and a half.
Well, but just really quick on J.D. Lampley, he was my favorite player in this recruiting class. When I went back every year, I try to look at all the recruits. I go back and watch their high school film. I was really impressed with his high school film. He's got, a kid has a motor. He's strong. He can move well. He's agile for a big kid. And like you said, to be able to, you know, step in as a true freshman and contribute, you know, he's got a huge, huge upside here. I mean, the his future, he could have a big time career here at East Carolina. So I'm very high on him as a player.
It's also awesome to see us get a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and we're able to sack him four times. Unfortunately, on the other side, we also allowed four sacks. But
it was, yeah, that was guys. And, you know, we were talking about that four sacks, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was the third quarter, there was a drive. We allowed three sacks in one series that we were on.
Yes.
That's right on that. But
at least a couple, if not three. And then it was right there at the end of the first half when we were, I guess driving, actually maybe late first quarter and then in the second quarter. But as you said, that was largely figured out at halftime, as was our inability to consistently run the ball. We came out in the second half. You know, Keaton Mitchell doesn't need much space. And I rewatched his 81-yard touchdown run there in the fourth quarter. And, wow, we drove their three down linemen, you know, back into the linebackers, especially the Mike backer. And And the Mike backer had no chance because the nose guard got driven back into him. And, you know, the linebackers on the outside, they maybe took a misstep or two and on their fits. And, you know, Keaton was off to the races. And Jason Tindall and I, you know, we were talking about this. And, you know, he's a longtime coach in the high school ranks. And I said, wow, the way we block that. But at the same time, Keaton doesn't need much. And he can take it to the house with that speed. But something else that stood out to me defensively, and I know Old Dominion only ran 43 plays, but looking at the tackles, you had Juwan Powell with 6, Jeremy Lewis with 4, and those were the only two players that we had that had more than 3 tackles in this game. And we had 21 players with tackles and only 2 with more than 3.
Yeah, that was one of the things that Matt and I in the past, I know that, not that Bubba does it, but I know Matt loves defense like me. And it used to drive me crazy when you see a tackle for loss that the guy escapes and all of a sudden he gets a few yards out of it. When it should have been a 2 or 3 yard loss, becomes a like 3 or 4 yard gain. That kind of, because of missed tackles, that kind of stuff drives me nuts. And, you know, like blocking and tackling are the two most important things in football, the fundamentals of football. And if you can't tackle, I mean, not to waste time on the show because we have more important things to talk about, but tackling, especially, I think another thing, guys, that's really important is open field tackling.
Yeah, the tackling was much better this week. The tackling was much better this week. And as well as we played versus NC State, we really, when you go back and watch it, when you really go back and watch that game, there were so many missed tackles. I know it's hard to believe, but when you go back, there were a ton of missed tackles, as well as we played down a stretch. So I thought the tackling was better yesterday. And to your point, Dave, which is a good point, when we were pinning our ears back and trying to get after the quarterback, we didn't let him get out of the pocket. You know, he's not a dynamic runner by any stretch, but we did what we had to do, and you know, we made the plays. But that was fun to – that was a lot of fun to watch late in the game. When they were essentially just a one-dimensional team, we were just pinning our ears back. And one of the guys that really stood out to me was Chad Stevens. I liked, you know, what I saw from him from like an explosion standpoint. He looked quick. He looked explosive. So I was pretty impressed by what I saw by number 13 there.
Yeah. And by the way, guys, I'm going to put it out there right now because I'm the agent of Blake Carroll. We need to give that dude a serious raise because by the end of this year, we're going to have, I'm just going to go ahead and predict it right now. We're going to have a huge year. I'll give my predictions of what I think is going to happen in a minute. I will later on, but we're going to have such a big year. There's going to be a whole bunch of teams coming after that guy throwing a lot of money. So if you're John Gilbert right now, Mike Houston, are you listening? Give Blake a huge raise and probably Donnie K too. Because that defense used to be totally embarrassing. And as Matt Simmons, a former linebacker, by the way, Matt, talk about your linebackers, man. Those guys, Miles Berry, those guys are just ferocious. I love the linebackers this year. I'm just like, man, they are unbelievable. They're really attacking the ball and they're shutting down things. And I think the thing I like about Blake Carroll is these guys are, I think the reason why they're doing so well, they love Harrell. Even though his scheme seemed to be, you know, like, oh, my God, they're so, like, elaborate. But yet, those guys are having fun out there. They know what they're doing. I know it's the third year he's been the defensive coordinator where they're used to it now. But those guys seem to really like each other, number one, and they're having fun playing defense.
Yeah. How could you not? I mean, this scheme is awesome. Like if you're a defensive player, this is the type of scheme you want to play in. It's an attacking, aggressive style defense where, you know, you're on the attack. You're not sitting back playing read and react type defense. I mean, you are, you know, you're getting downhill and you're attacking. And like, to your point, Dave, about being in the system for 2 or 3 years, that is fun because you don't have to really think as much. Everything just becomes very instinctive. And when you can just play instinctively, you play faster. You're more efficient. You're more productive. As opposed to like, you know, your first year out there, you're it's such a mental thing where you can get in your own head. You're overthinking everything. You're thinking about, all right, where do I need to do? What's my responsibility against this formation? And so, yeah, I think you're seeing it's a culmination of, like, you know, you have guys 2 or 3 years in the system and the scheme is awesome. I mean, I agree. Blake Harrell was a tremendous hire by Mike Houston because everything's changed with him here. And I absolutely love the defense. I've said it a million times. It's the perfect defense for East Carolina, for who we are, for the type of recruits we get. I think it's great. And he's earned his paycheck, man. He really has.
And by the way, I wanted to mention too, guys, I know we're talking about the secondary and maybe but I want to make a point for them. I want to stand up for the secondary right now. The only person on that team to me that we had to worry about, we did a better job later on, I think, but later, especially in the second half, but Jennings is an NFL caliber player. And I felt like that some of that is because he's an NFL player, future player, I believe, unless he gets in trouble or hurt or whatever, but he was just a special player. And you're not going to stop always those special players and not making excuses for the defense, but I will say that it's not like a whole bunch of guys were making a whole bunch of plays like we used to see on our team on defense. Jennings is just way above what we're going to see probably the rest of the season. He's one of those guys that, you know, ODU snagged and got a great player. And for me personally, I don't want to see him make big plays, but he's one of those guys that you guys, we always talk about that when he's on the field, or if he's a basketball player on the court, that he scares you because we say, oh, God, there's number zero coming again. And anytime he's running a route, he has a chance to catch a ball, he scares you.
Yeah, it's a great point. I totally agree.
But I just want to make sure we don't beat up too much on the secondary when I don't think they're as bad as he made them look a few times. It's because he's that good of a player.
Yeah, he's a very impressive player. He's definitely an NFL type guy, but I do think just a lot of bust contributed to it on the back end. Did we lose Bubba there? I think we lost. Hey, I just want to I see some comment here from Jay Walker, guys, a former teammate of mine who, you know, Sean Rich. Glad to see him chiming in tonight, and awesome player. Loves the program, you know, a true pirate. Some of his comments here, he just mentioned Morris Foreman was that kind of player, Dave.
Yes. Mofo.
Sean Rich. I didn't want to say it, but yeah, Sean Rich. Morris Foreman was, I'll say it a million times, and I'm not to get off topic, maybe the most instinctive football player I've ever played with. Always a guy who was always in the right place at the right time, always, and was always creating turnovers by being in the right place. Just an instinctive player. So, yeah, just wanted to call out Sean Richardson. Great to hear from you.
And Jay Walker. In fact, Bubba, I know you wanted to mention Jay and appreciate any of the guys, that men and women that play sports for the Pirates. You put that purple and gold, you have a home with us because we love ECU that much.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Bubba, are you there? I don't know if we're having some technical difficulties with Bubba. I'm not sure, but that's why that awkward pause. I was waiting for Bubba to chime in. I'm not talking. Somebody you know very well, Matt, Shell talks about his nickname was Wood. You know Jeff Carr? You know him, don't you?
Oh, I know him pretty well. awesome linebacker. Broke his nose more than anybody ever in East Carolina history for two reasons. He had a short face mask and a humongous nose. So, but we won't get into that right now. But yeah, Shell, awesome player, good friend of mine too. And talk about an aggressive player who liked to attack. That was Jeff.
And that's the thing is that what I'm really proud of is that, Jay's saying he was a hard hitter too. I'll tell you one thing. I always brag about the 90s because that's when I was in school. And then right after I was covering towards the end of your career at ECO, I was covering the Pirates, Matt, a couple years older. But the fact of the 90s, man, we had some great times. And that's what we need to not that we want to go back in time, but the guys that were in the 90s, you guys like took down Miami twice, NC State, we could West Virginia. There's so many games we could talk about the big wins over that decade. My God, the Peach Bowl, you could just there's a million wins we had during that time. And I think that Mike Houston has us at a point. If, you know, he may not stay as long as we'd like him to. That's what coaches do. But he has a potential, guys, to win the conference this year. You know, we have the playoffs coming in a couple years. Guys, if we win the American in a couple years with Houston still here, which I think he could be, I mean, just think about that. If we had the playoffs, we win the conference, we're the sixth ranked conference, and we have a shot. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we need to have our goals lofty. We need to think we can win every single game. We have the talent now. We have the coaching staff now. We're going to have better facilities in the next couple of years. We'll have that indoor practice facility because Matt Semenza, he hasn't told everybody yet, but he's given $20 million towards the campaign. I'm waiting for those emails. I'm waiting for the one with the Semenza family given the $20 million.
Only 20?
I'm sorry, Matt. I should have asked
you. Shortchanged. No. That's right, funny. But, yeah, no, I agree. I mean, Mike Houston, he's really got the program moving in the right direction. And, you know, I think looking at our chances this year, you know, when you look at the schedule, you feel like we have a chance to win every game. And yep. In addition to Houston and I think Holton, I'm seeing some things from Holton this year that are very different. And I wanted to talk about that for a minute. First of all, I think Holton Ayers, we haven't really mentioned his name yet.
Let's talk about him, yeah.
Yeah, he played a hell of a game yesterday. He really did. Their ODU was coming after him. They were bringing the house. He made a lot of great reads. He didn't turn it over. No interceptions. If you go back and watch that game, he, on numerous occasions, he scrambled out of the pocket and threw some darts. Really, really accurate throws down the field. You know, and he can extend drives with his feet. He played an awesome game yesterday. No interceptions. I love that. But he was really efficient. I thought he spread the ball around to different receivers. You know, if you're just looking at the, you know, the box chart here, the box score, you know, we had, you know, Johnson with 9 receptions, Winstead with 5, Ryan Jones with 3, Calhoun, Harris, CJ Johnson, Kerry King. He spread the ball around really well. And he didn't force anything. And not to talk too much here, Dave, but one of the big things I noticed with Holton this year that I didn't always see in the past, he's going through his progressions and he looks much more comfortable doing it. So I've noticed several times he'll look to his right. There's nothing there. And you could see his eyes come back to the left and then throw a strike to the other side of the field. He couldn't really always do that a few years ago. So he's making strides.
Yeah, and let me add to that. I tell you what it reminded me of, and everybody's going to say, oh, my God, because the guy is a legend. But he reminded me of, as far as the playmaking ability and the extending the drives, as you talk about with his feet, and somebody like a Brett Favre, where he's really talented. I think he's obviously more mobile than even Brett Favre. But he's definitely making, you saw about the reads, and I think, again, I think the difference in Holton is not only experience, but he has the playmakers around him he didn't have early on in his career. And he was young, inexperienced. He's thinking, okay, I'm the big man on campus like a D.H. Conley, and roughly so because he's a legend there, you know. And so now he's comfortable. He has experience. He has a talent around him where he doesn't have to put so much pressure on himself. But anyway, I really think that we're having now where we can honestly say where Holton is that guy that's going to take us to the next level, who can win us a championship. And why did Holton choose East Carolina? He chose it because when he's my son's age now, my son's like is 9 years old. When Holton was 9 years old, we were winning championships. And all of a sudden, we were not winning championships anymore. He came to East Carolina because he grew up a Pirate and he wanted to turn the program around. And thanks to Jay Walker, like Jay, I believe too, man. I'll tell you one thing. Let me get my prediction right now.
And that's Sean Richardson, by the way. I just want to chime in. I didn't want to give his name up, but I'm going to do it anyway. Great okay. Pirate.
All right. But as far as this year, I'm going to go ahead and make a bold prediction. I think we're going to be 6-1 by the time we get to the UCF game. I think sometime, I don't know when, because of the I can't stand the damn polls anyway, but sometime in the month of October, we will sneak in the top 25. You heard it here first on the Sports Objective. That's a hot take for you, ladies and gentlemen.
That's a hot take.
Dave Richmond spitting out all kinds of rat poison tonight.
No, no, I believe that much. I would not do it in the Scotty Moe era, obviously, because I would be an absolute fool. But that's how much I believe in these players. That's how much I believe in the coaching staff. We finally have things headed. And Charles, but no, I really believe in this team. And I do believe that we have that ability where we can roll off a whole bunch of wins, including this week. And the coaching staff won't say it, but my God, Campbell is good at the level they are, but not that we're taking them for granted by any stretch of the imagination. They have a hell of a coach. They have the number one FCS recruiting class in the country. So I'm not saying they don't have talent or cupcake, but you feel like that with our talent playing at home. And please, Pirate Nation, let me say this too. We were there. Matt has an excuse. He's in Connecticut, okay? But there's a lot of people that – oh, it's, you know, it's Old Dominion, and then we have Campbell. I don't give a damn who we're playing. What else are you going to – I was telling the guys at my tailgate last night. I said, I always, like, tailgate after the game for, like, 30 minutes or an hour, maybe at least. I let all those people fight that want to get out first. What are you running home to? Are you a volunteer fireman? I mean, why are you rushing off to leave? Like, we only have seven of and especially the Rosenbaums. They're driving like three and a half hours back home, but they're like, they love the Pirates so much. They drive all the way to Greenville to games. Like we live for this stuff. So why would you leave early unless there was an emergency?
Right. I agree. 100%.
It's not a Dodgers game, right? Where we have traffic. It's not a Dodgers game where you come in the third and you leave in the seventh. Right, Bubba?
Yeah, I don't know what was going on a few minutes ago. I had to restart my phone. But, you know, when I was trying to chime in with some of the comments, as well as also when Matt was talking about Ali Jennings. Coach Houston was saying in his weekly press conference, you know, talking about five catches for 122 yards against Virginia Tech. And then he came out, eight catches for 200 yards against us. And clearly he's a tremendous receiver. But that cannot happen, as Matt already referenced earlier. And we know he had some breakdowns in coverage there. You know, I think one time it may have been Juwan Powell. One time it was maybe Damael Hickman. It seemed as – I don't know if – I didn't go back and watch the route. I didn't see it live until he'd already broke open. The one, I believe it was to set up their first touchdown on a post route. I don't know if there was a double move in there. But, you know, he is certainly wide open. There may have been some slippage, even if it had not been caused by a double move. But that was an easy throw for Hayden Wolf. But, Matt, did you have something about that?
Yeah, it was an easy throw, and it was just it was definitely a bust. There were two or three busts there on the back end, and you could actually see it if you just look at our defensive players. And I won't call out the names because that's not my style, but you could see a few of them with their arms up in the air, like, "What are you doing?" You know, it was that type of thing. Like, there was clearly a mental bust there. So, type of thing. I mean, you know, you still have a few guys that without much experience back there, they'll get it fixed. And, you know, make sure it doesn't happen again.
Another thing is I think we're disrespecting. I'll go back to what I said. I also think that, you know, a good player like Jennings, you're not going to shut him down. Now, I'll tell you what, the what's the name of the tight end? Is it Kuntz? What was it? No, that's not right. Is it?
It was something like that.
I'm drawing a blank. But the tight end, we shut down completely. We pretty much shut down for the most part their running game. And if you take away Jennings, like, it would be – that's all they had. It was one-dimensional. For me personally, I felt like, yes, I was upset that those busted plays happened. But some of that, too, is that Jennings is that good. We've also got to give credit to Jennings. Tip my hat to him that he's a good player. And know that should every one of those busted plays happen? No. But I still think that he's just a special player. You tip your hat and move on and say, okay, hopefully next time we don't have that happen. But I think it's somewhat disrespectful to just say we definitely should have him shut down the whole game when you know he's that good of a player that he's going to make some plays.
You know, and going back to the coverage thing, I mean, generally, I was just kind of thinking out loud there. I mentioned those two players by name. Damel Hickman, you know, he's played some tremendous football in the first two games, and he had at least one, if not multiple, pass breakups against NC State and did some good things as well last night. And then you also I talked about Juwan Powell. He was second in tackles last night and does a tremendous job stopping the run. So, you know, those are some things that I know those guys will get cleaned up and the secondary as a whole will get cleaned up. Like Coach Houston mentioned in the post game, and that kind of led me back to a comment. I believe it was Craig Doucette here a few minutes ago. He was just saying, how great is it now? Kind of like we were saying last night during the game, you know, how great is it that we're able to discuss these things, you know, while you're winning a game as opposed to being down 4, 5, 6 touchdowns?
Yeah, it's a great point, Craig. And, you know, I think – you know, Craig, one of my favorite things about that game last night, Craig, was that we kicked their ass in the second half. I mean, yes, that was a beaten team. It kind of reminded me, like, if you ever watch a heavyweight fight and, you know, you could see by, like, the sixth round, you know, a 12-round fight, by the sixth round, one fighter is starting to impose his will. And, you know, by the 10th round, the other guy's got two black eyes and he's bleeding and just doesn't want to come out. And, you know, for the 11th or 12th round. And that's kind of what it reminded me of. Late in that game, ODU was a beaten team. They were done. They were physically done. And, you know, one of you guys mentioned earlier that, you know, we could have scored more. Classy move by Mike Houston. Dave, thank you. Yeah, not to run it up, because I agree that was a classy move and a smart thing to do. But make no mistake, and ODU knows it, that they were a beaten team late in that game.
Guys, the offense for ODU did not do the defense for ODU any favors when they couldn't get it going. That's a testament to our defense. But, man, our team looked so fresh in the fourth quarter, kind of like the days with Connors back in the day with you guys. You know what? We may lose some games, but we're not going to be out-conditioned. I remember Coach Connors talking about that. And to give a shameless plug, he has a great show with us on Monday nights. That'll be tomorrow night, Absolute Empowerment. But does a great
job.
Boy,
did he mean it, Dave.
Do what?
Boy, did he mean it, because I'm still having flashbacks of the workouts he put us through.
PTSD.
25 years later, I think about his workouts. I want to throw up still. But but no, he was great at that. Yep.
Yeah, well, that the very fact that I noticed, again, it was in the third quarter, a few minutes in the third quarter, I looked at those players of ODU, and there's a lot of talent on that team. I'm not pumping them up to say, you know, to make us look better. And I looked at those guys and I said, uh-oh, those guys are starting to get really tired, and they still have another half to play, you know, and it was early in the third. I started to notice that defensive line, those guys just not being able to get to our running game.
Yeah, that's what I was referencing earlier. That's a great point, because with the way our line drove them off the ball on Keaton Mitchell's 81-yard touchdown run, it's certainly reflected what you're saying. And kind of, you guys ready to move on to Campbell very quickly? Yeah. before we get out of here? And we'll have our Pirate preview on Tuesday night. We'll catch up with Chris Haymeyer, the play-by-play voice of the Campbell Camels, to talk further about Mike Minner's squad. But Campbell's 1-1. They defeated the Citadel in their opener 29-10. Last night they were at William & Mary. William & Mary has a very good football team. They went to Charlotte, and I know Charlotte's not very good. And Matt can tell you more about the 49ers, but He got absolutely throttled by Maryland yesterday. But you take a look at Campbell. You know, they're a solid FCS program. You know, very much in that program's infancy. You know, making the jump from a non-scholarship FCS program, if I'm not mistaken, to the scholarship program in the last several years.
They're going to the CAA, right?
Oh, yeah, as well as taking a step up in the conference affiliation, you know, moving to the CAA. So that's a program that has really made a lot of strides. And you take a look at that game yesterday. They were competitive against William & Mary. William & Mary ended up winning the football game 37-21. They have a dual-threat quarterback. He's thrown for about 175 to 200 yards per game thus far. Completing just shy of 60% of his passes. Did have, I believe this is actually in the game that they won against the Citadel, but I may be mixing the games up. He had a 3-interception game. He has, in two games, run the ball 25 times for a little over 100 yards. So that shows you that they really like, I believe, Haj Malik Williams is his name. So, keep an eye on him and Mike Minner, obviously the former Carolina Panther, is the Campbell's leader.
Yeah, I was going to – nice segue there. Thank you, Bubba. I was getting ready to say Mike Minner is a heck of a player for the Carolina Panthers, and he's taking that. You know, there's some guys, like the guys from the 90s, we talk about the Simmons of the world. There's just some guys that are winners on the field and off the field. You got a Mike Minner that – is a one heck of a competitor. I have a lot of respect for him and what he's doing. And, you know, Campbell was more or less just basketball and baseball. And here they are now. They have a really nice university. They have obviously a lot of money. And they're going to have going to the CAA is a huge, huge, huge leap for them. And it's going to be great for them. And I'm really excited for them for that program. And Mike Minner actually is going to have a Zoom call on Tuesday. We'll try to cover that. I believe it's at 11 a.m. So we'll try to have that as well. If we won't have it like released early on, we'll try to have it by release it to you by Tuesday night. But to get comments from Coach Minner, easy for me to say, but Bubba, that's definitely something that I'm looking forward to, is being able to talk to a legend like Mike Minner. And just, you know, like, it'll be great. He's one of those guys that's a football mind. I'm sorry, Bubba, just made this quick point and then pitch it to you. He's one of those guys that you would love to be able to talk football with, just sit around drinking some beer and just talk football, because he's that much of a competitor, a great guy, and the X's and O's.
No doubt, and really look forward to, you know, we'll find more out about their personnel when we talk to Chris Haymire on Tuesday night on our Pirate preview.
And I'm sorry, I'm laughing at Craig's comment. He said the good news, there should be more water available at concessions for EC vans, since camels don't need much. I'm sorry, that was good. Craig, you're the man. That was
Craig. Craig's got some good ones today. And then he mentioned Bubba. I think Craig said Bubba is on AOL dial-up.
Yeah, he's referencing that. He obviously didn't realize that I was on my phone, but yeah, Craig's had some good lines tonight. And you know, going back through some of the comments, and you know, you already referenced what Pirate Al said, Alan Powell, as far as being solid on both lines of scrimmage. Then you also had, Michelle Powell talking about Zay Winstead. And the catch that really stood out was the fade ball that it was right in front of me as we were driving toward the Boneyard. Maybe it was, I'm not sure if I was first or second drive, but it was there in the first quarter. And I believe it was our second possession. And Zay Winstead really went up and got the football. I know Dave, you referenced that catch earlier.
Yeah.
And that's another example of guys of Holton. When we talked about Holton, like his maturity and everything. Like one thing I love about that is Holton, he's recognizing defenses. He saw they were in man press coverage. All right. They had a single high free safety and they were going to come after him. And he's like, you know what? All right. I have a 6'4" receiver on the outside. and I recognize it, and I'm going to throw a jump ball. And so Winstead made the catch, but Holton now, as a 10th-year college quarterback, can recognize – I'm being sarcastic, but he's, I feel like he's been here forever. But he can recognize the defenses and make the adjustment.
Yeah, guys, and I want to mention too, to me, the play of the game for me was it Johnson, Jalen Johnson, that fourth down and eight? It was that down towards the boneyard end. I can't remember now, but it was fourth and eight. We go for it, and we get the call. I mean, that was a tremendous, tremendous play right there to keep the drive alive. And, you know, again, I love the – I want to say this about the coaching staff. We criticize them sometimes, but I love how they're being aggressive and not just playing for – no offense to Owen Daffer. It has nothing to do with him. But I love how we're still going for it on fourth down, deep in the territory. And that just shows – what it shows to me is not that it's not confidence in Daffer. What it says to me is how much confidence Coach Houston, Donnie Kirkpatrick, and those that coaching staff has in those players. When, and you guys are former players, and you know whenever a coach has confidence in you, then it breeds confidence in the players that he really believes we can make this fourth down and eight. I love it.
Yeah. It's a great point, Dave.
No doubt. Last year, you know, we were so proficient on fourth down because we needed to be, because we weren't very good on third down. And you know, part of that was because we put ourselves in very long third down situations. But Robert Dedrick, I mean, this is probably our first question of the night that we didn't get to. Going back to this, Matt, I mean, he says, Matt, and this question is for you. Does it seem like our pass rushers never use stunts or twists, only straight bull rush moves? Maybe that was purposeful, you know, as far as filling the pass lanes.
Yeah, Robert, it's a good question. I haven't really gone back to really watch too much of the film yet, but it did seem like we were just coming after them. We were just pinning our ears back and just straight up bull rushing those guys. And it was almost like, hey, we're going to put our best against your best, and good luck stopping us. And you saw Elijah Morris got some big time push, a few late sacks. I think it was I saw Chad Stevens get some push. You saw Hickman get some push. So, yeah, it just seemed like we were just basically saying, hey, you know, you can't block us, and you know, we're going to come after you. But good question. I'm going to have to go back and haven't really had a chance to, you know, analyze some of that yet.
And Mike Radford chimed in a few times, but wanted to bring up this comment. Dave, you may have alluded to it earlier, made some comment about officiating, and they quickly realized the error of the ways, but I don't know how they thought, you know, that one play there in the second half was targeting, because it was the epitome of a form tackle.
Yeah, it was. My son is starting to play football now, Alexander, and I have over almost every day we talk football. And one of the things I've been telling him is about the stupid rule with targeting. It's the intentions are good, but you know what? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. The intentions are good that we want to have players safe. I'm not trying to say that I don't want the players to be hurt or anything like that, but that's the epitome of why that call targeting should be thrown out. Because they don't know what they don't even know what they're supposed to be enforcing the game, and they don't even know what targeting is. And proof is in the pudding right there. Last night, I was trying to be good, Bubba, and not talk about the officiating, but that was crazy. And I'll tell you another thing: we need to call the police and dial 911 because we got robbed on that spot. We did. We made that first down. Was in the fourth quarter when they called that. We had that spot. We had it by, I mean, I wouldn't say it was a yard, but we definitely had that spot. And they moved the player here, and it was almost like that we got a penalty. They moved the ball back. I mean, it wasn't a lot, but it was enough that we didn't get the first down. I'm like, are you trying to keep the game close, or what's the deal here that the spot was clear? And then I didn't know that you could, maybe you can review the spot was, I was just, anyway, And then I thought Harris got it again. I was just really confused on that by the officials. I thought that a lot of calls they got right last night, and I was less animated about the officiating last night. You guys didn't get the group text like I normally do. But there were certain times there I'm going, that targeting. I saw it live with my own eyes, and my eyes are not good. And I saw that that was a clear. I was like, that's what I've been teaching Alexander about how to tackle.
Do you kind of feel like a lot of times the refs are looking for targeting now?
Yeah.
You know, it seems like they're actively looking for it, and it's just like enough, you know, like in the perfect example, and it wasn't a targeting, but in that in the Texas Alabama game when Bryce got the quarterback got sacked in the end zone, and that was, in my opinion, that was a clear safety. That's right, horns down. And then the ref, his first instinct was to throw a penalty flag. And that made a huge impact.
That was beyond ridiculous. I saw that on Twitter. Obviously, being in Greenville for our game or on the way to Greenville, we were able to listen to some of that in the car. My dad was able to watch as I was driving. But, man, I tell you what, had not seen that play when it happened. But going back and watching it last night, that was absolutely horrible. How that was even remotely considered to be a roughing the passer is beyond me and just totally ridiculous.
Yeah, but you're right, Matt. I hadn't thought about that extensively, but you're right about it's like they are so worried that they're going to miss a targeting call. And let me say this, too, about the officials. They're supposed to be guys up in the sky in the press box, right? You hear that all the time. And they're supposed to be guys back at the conference, you know, watching the games. And I know that was really that's a non-conference game. But we need to have some accountabilities for these officials. And when they screw up a call, damn it, call them and say, you screwed up the call. You tell the guys on the field that they get it right now. Because if we're going to take one of the things that's frustrating to me is I used to, you know, like you say all the times, I wish we had review. I wish we had back in the day with NFL. And then you get it and you're like, be careful what you wish for. Because now the games – I think that sometimes I think they're told to call penalties that are screwy calls and they'll change it, Mr. Conspiracy Theory here, so they can sell advertising and we can go to another commercial break for another 4 or 5 minutes. Because otherwise, how else do you can't be that incompetent. That targeting one, I mean, I was looking at that, I was like, I can't wait to show Alexander. That's how you tackle a guy, that's how you wrap a guy up. I mean, yeah.
It really seems to me like officiating has declined. I feel like the quality of officiating is getting worse and worse.
Nobody wants to go in it anymore.
It's hard to understand. I don't know if that's because all these officials are worried about getting second guessed on TV with the replays and all this, but it seems like the officiating is getting worse. It's so bad every week. But I want to thank both of you guys really quick because you guys are probably two of the most level-headed guys to watch a game with. You know, I'm throwing things, yelling, cursing, and
can we get Chrissy on
all Dave says, go Pirates, go Pirates. And Bubba will not hear a word of negativity from me during a game. So you guys, thank God for you guys talking me off a ledge sometimes.
Well, yeah,
hey, Matt,
after the Mo era, I totally get where you're coming from because we're used to winning at a high level. And guys, I want to mention one thing, and I know Bubba, we're running a little bit long tonight. We want to talk about upsets, but let me just say this. The biggest story of today, we got to talk about it. We kind of alluded to it. Scott Frost out. And we were talking about that on with Jeff Sheeran, the wonderful guy for UCF. Which Scott would be out first? You know what? I'll say this right now. I think Scott Frost is a good coach. I told you guys, but I think that he got outcoached in a lot of games. You cannot tell me that that was bad luck. Bad luck happens once a year, or a couple times a year, or maybe a couple times in your coaching career. Look how close games that guy lost. At some point, you have to say he was outcoached. Look at when you look at Northwestern, the Northwestern game. Is the reason that man doesn't have a job. They were up, what was it, a couple touchdowns, I think, in the third quarter or definitely in the second half. There's no way they lose to Northwestern. I'm not anti-Northwestern. I think they have a good program, and they have one hell of a coach. Their coach is amazing. But anyway, I also thought today that Trev Alberts, the AD, I thought it was disrespectful to him, by him, when he said that he wanted a coach that hated losing more than winning. And he goes, oh, I don't mean Scott Frost. Well, who the hell do you mean? You fired the guy, and then you make that comment. So I know that he'll probably never be on a show. He probably doesn't care what anything I have to say. But you're an athletic director. Have some class. You just fired a guy. Like, who? What coach are you going to get that would love losing? If you have a guy that loves losing, he doesn't need to be a coach or a player for that matter. So I don't know any coach. That was the dumbest comment that you could ever have in the history of being an athletic director. And yes, I said that. For anybody to say that is stupid, especially when you have no class, when you just fired a guy who's one of your own. That was like when Ruffin McNeil was fired. Different circumstances, no doubt, but he's still one of their own. And he goes, oh, well, Scott Frost is always welcome. Well, do you think he feels welcome right now when you say, I make a comment like that? I was just really upset for Scott Frost on that. And I'm not I don't care about Nebraska football. I'm an East Carolina guy, but I did feel bad for Scott Frost in that moment.
Yeah. 5-22 in one score ball games. And that pretty much tells the tale there. But, you know, as we're wrapping this show up and plugging some of our upcoming content, taking a look at our schedule for the week. You mentioned Absolute Empowerment with Coach Connors. He'll have a conversation with country music star Chase Rice, who actually played for him during his time in North Carolina. And then on Tuesday night, we'll have Chris Haymeyer for the Pirate Preview, as well as some comments from Campbell head coach Mike Minner. And then you see there our shows throughout the rest of the week. Pirate Breakdown with Sutton Young, Sonny and Semenza, the Inside Slant. And on the Inside Slant this week, we'll talk about what a week it was for the Sun Belt Conference. You know, App State goes and wins at number 6, Texas A&M. Georgia Southern, causes Nebraska to pull the trigger on Scott Frost here a few weeks into the season. And then also, Marshall going to South Bend, Indiana, and knocking off Notre Dame.
How about Kirk Herbstreit? He called that one on the Marshall Notre Dame game. He was talking about Marshall and the other guys on, college game day sometimes gets on my nerves when so Power Five hunger homers and they don't give the underdog a chance. Marshall's a damn good football program. And for the disrespect on that panel, not to give Marshall a chance. I mean, are you all Notre Dame guys? I mean, give the, yes, there are some teams that, have more talent, but that doesn't mean they're going to win the game. And so I was glad that surprise Herbstreit actually did that, because he's normally one of the guys that, speaking of Matt, that's one of the things that I love to do is watch college game day. But sometimes it gets my blood pressure up where I want to throw things at them for the idiotic statements, things they say, and how they really don't care anything except for the big boy programs. I know Herbie is a guy that went to Ohio State, but for me personally, it's nice to have guys. It's nice to have the upsets like we had yesterday, unless you're the team that got upset. But it's nice when Marshall can go from Huntington, West Virginia. People make fun of them all the time, and they can go into South Bend and beat them. That's a great story. Georgia Southern beating Nebraska. That's a great story. For the upsets yesterday, that was great for the conference, but it was also great for college football. And maybe just one day, I'm not going to go on a tangent above it. I know we're going long, but maybe just one day, college football guys, the gurus, the powers that be will realize upsets are great stories for the game. That's what we need. We need eyeballs, and it's great for the game. So anyway,
I got to chime in really quick, 30 okay. seconds, guys. Again, what you're seeing right now, in my opinion, the transfer portal is benefiting the so-called smaller programs, the mid-majors. You saw it all across the country yesterday. And I just picture all these the old guard of college football who hates to see anybody break through unless you've been playing football for 150 years, like Michigan or Alabama. I picture all these guys in a room, trying to shut down the transfer portal for that exact reason, because it's benefiting the little guy. And you saw all over the country yesterday. And you watch, they're going to try their best to stop it because they hate the idea of anybody breaking through, you know, to that, to the good old boys club, I call it. But not to go off on a tangent, but it is really interesting to see. And this transfer portal is really going to start to create a lot of parity.
And that's a good thing. And JD Walker said the same thing. By the way, guys, on a serious note, before we get out of here and plug our sponsors, Bubba and Matt, all of us here at the Sports Objective and all our fans and all the people at Pirate Nation, say a big prayer for Kyle. He was going to be with us tonight, but he has a big surgery tomorrow and he's getting ready for that surgery. Be in the prayer tomorrow. It'll be tomorrow afternoon. So those of us, I'll be there at the hospital. That's where I work, and I'll be there for him and his family. But those that cannot be there for his family, please, and for him, please say a huge prayer for him tomorrow. We're obviously Team Kyle always, but especially this moment. And I didn't want to make the whole show without saying something about. He's a brother to. It's like a band of brothers. He's a brother to us, and he's a very important part of the show. And you haven't seen him recently because of his health issues. So we're praying really hard for him. And Kyle, we're behind you 1,000%.
Absolutely, Dave. And there was another comment here that I wanted to bring up right quick. Johnny Robertson, as you know, is one of our loyal viewers and listeners. And I do remember the comment that he is referencing on last week's Inside Slant, the Inside Slant, when we were talking to Jeff Sharon from UCF. But Johnny said that he would like to apologize to the three of us for the comment where he said that Kyle was the only one with passion, that was out of context, and that he tunes in regularly because of, you know, the commitment and passion that we display toward the Pirates. But certainly not take it that way, but we appreciate you saying that, Johnny. And I know, like many things, you know, we all have our strengths that we bring to the table. And I think that's the reason that we've grown the show and make a good team, because we all have our different strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah. And thanks, Johnny, for saying that. I certainly didn't take it that way either, but you're right. Kyle, we love his passion, man. I mean, when Kyle's on a roll, there's nobody better. So
we stand back.
Yeah. I mean, I love when he gets fired up. We're going to – prayers for Kyle tonight.
No doubt. Kyle, brother, we're there for you tomorrow. By the way, want to give a shout-out before we go for our great sponsors, like the title sponsor of the Pirate Football Playback is L&K Customs Homes. And L&K Custom Homes, man, they do a great job. Like I've said many times, I am going to call you, Kevin Walker. You'll be one of the first calls outside of the guys at the Sports Objective when I finally win the lottery. I will call you with all the great updates to my house. Give him a call. You don't have to wait to win the lottery. Call him now at 336-688-8461. Call Kev today. And KK is one of the best DBs, one of the best players we've ever had. What a talent on the Pirate team, especially he was part of that 83 team, one of the best teams ever in the history of Pirate football. Appreciate Kev's support of us and the show for sure. Porky's Backyard Barbecue, hello. They sponsor our tailgate each time, and they're a great place to go eat. They're open daily 11 to 8. Give Mark and Terry a call at 252-661. You can dine in, or they have the drive-through. They've got some great barbecue. Man, they've got some great ribs, the barbecue chicken, seafood, you name it. They've got a huge buffet. All you have to do is go there and see all the great sides and everything they have to eat. And thanks for their support of the program. And, of course, last but certainly not least, I want to give a shout out to PGX Gloves, and I've got to order my son Alexander some new football gloves. I'm going to do that for him this week. I'm going to go to pgxgloves.com. They have the cut baseball gloves, which my son and daughter have, the baseball and softball gloves. They have the custom batting gloves. They have football gloves. They have for golf, all you golfers out there, as you know, Kyle talks about it, they have golf gloves, a lot of great swag and apparel and so much more. And get this, they have a promo code. All you have to do is for the promo code, put ECU and get 25% off. Thank you so much for Mark Benacosi for his support of the program and all the great gloves.com. Guys, what a great show. I want to give a shout out to all the fans and Pirate Nation, all the people that have supported us. You guys, we don't say it a lot. I want to say this. We're over 600 people now for subscribers to our YouTube channel. We're working really hard, put a lot of content. Make sure you let everybody know, subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's a big deal for us. Bubba's put a lot of time and effort. Basically, what happened with the show is I had an idea, and YouTube was one of my ideas, and I just didn't have the time. Bubba took the ball and ran with it, and I want to give him a shout-out for that and many things he does for the program. But YouTube is an area we were lacking, and I wanted to have more of a presence, and we've been working really hard over the last few years to do that. So thank you, Bubba. So make sure you like us on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on TikTok. Everywhere. So check it out. All right, for all the great listeners out there, viewers, thanks to Matt. Bubba, good luck to Kyle tomorrow. I'm Dave Richmond here for the Pirate Playback brought to you by L&K Custom Homes. Good night, everybody, and go Pirates.
You've been watching the Pirate Football Playback on the Sports Objective. Join us next Sunday night on our YouTube channel and Facebook Live as we talk East Carolina football. Follow us on social media at the Sports OBJ on Twitter and TikTok, at the Sports Objective on Instagram. Please like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. As always, we appreciate you listening to the show. Go Pirates! Keep a plank or the Shark Tank, traders beware, because we got a whole bunch of rowdy sailors in here. Come on, armed and ready, bang the lane, be aware, because if the back and forth break...